At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
It is the Anfield Wrap on Radio City Talk, 6:30 Liverpool, and we're overexcited. Two reasons. One, we've got Darren Farley back, and he hasn't done a show with us for years. Keep bumping into him in the street, and we always say we'll sort it. We've sorted it for once, Darren.
We've been saying that for far too long. I'm absolutely ecstatic to be back in, to be fair. There's always something that happens, you know what I mean, that stops me from coming in. But today, I'm in, and I'm buzzing to be back. Only a listener today, I'm on, so yeah.
Excellent stuff, made up to have him, and we're made up because Liverpool's first home game of the season. Adam Smith running into that first home game of the season and feeling like it'll be great to watch Liverpool in front of you again for lots and lots of people. They haven't had the opportunity in pre-season, two away games, but now the Reds, you're going to get to see them run around and see how fast Salah is.
Yeah, and do you know what? It feels like a good, like a nice time to do it. Like I needed that summer off. I think a lot of people did, and you need to recuperate.
Exactly. Yeah. R&R.
Exactly that. With writing and talk, I'm sure you had it a lot worse than I did. But with writing and talking about football all the time, sometimes you just need. I need 5 minutes here just to get a breather, and then I'm just ready now. I'm ready. You know, last week Watford was a nice little warm up, then Hoffenheim, and now ready to go back and get back into the sing of things.
Get stuck into the Reds. We're looking forward to getting stuck into the Reds. We're going to get stuck into Hoffenheim as well. So we're going to be looking ahead to Crystal Palace, joined by Sean Rogers to do a bit of a preview on that and talk about how Frank de Boer's got it bad at the moment. It's not a great shape that they're in, but they find themselves and we find ourselves off the back of a Liverpool victory away at Hoffenheim, John Gibbons, and it's a funny game. It's not like the European football we're used to. This isn't Rafa Benitez's European football where nothing much happens. Gerard Houllier's European football where even less happens. This is European football where things wouldn't stop happening no matter how much you screamed and shouted at the telly.
Yeah, I couldn't believe how open the game was. And then at half time, you thought, well, they'll close up now. Within that first 2 minutes of the second half was unreal. There was nearly about three goals. And I was thinking, well, what on earth? I mean, it just feels like it's going to be that sort of season again, isn't it? Football on a knife edge, defending you, watching through your fingers. But amazing attacking player as well on show. I thought Mane was excellent. I think Salah, not a great night for him, but I think, you know, he's showing already what he's going to be capable of and what he's going to be able to do. And I thought Firmino excellent again. So yeah, loads of positives. We're in a really good place in the tie.
We are in a really good place. I mean, it's a funny game, Darren. It was one of them where at the end of the match, I think we deserved to win this 3-0. At half-time, I thought we deserved to be 2-1 down. And that shouldn't be the case, should it? But that's the way in which what I took from it.
To be honest with you, we've seen a little bit in the Europa League. With I know it's different from the Champions League in terms of how you set up. But when I first, couple of games and a couple of months under Jürgen Klopp, I was intrigued to see how it had been Europe under him. I don't know how it'll turn out, to be honest with you, because that, don't get me wrong, we've seen it under Klopp since he come in, that it's kind of like end-to-end stuff, and as John said, you know, you're on the edge of your seat half the time with the football that gets played. But in Europe, you know, you mentioned earlier about Rafa Benitez and those kind of European away performances. Liverpool could have conceded a few, couldn't he, to be fair. Got away with it, nearly had the clean sheet, but it's going to be interesting to see how Liverpool do get on if we do advance and go into the group stages, because I think you've got to be a lot more solid. I'm stating the obvious, but you've got to have that strong base in Europe, as Rafa did, you know what I mean? So it's a big ask for Jürgen Klopp, but he's got to get that right in Europe for me.
They were gambling as well, Adam. You know, they were playing these wing backs and they were so high up the pitch, and as I say, it's so not what you're used to seeing. That's my big thing. My main thing on it is we'll find out if it works or not. And I sort of agree with Darren that you will have to go and find a way to be ugly at times and all of that sort of stuff. But both managers, you know, they were playing, their wing backs weren't worrying about Mane and Salah and their pace. Salah runs with the ball from inside his own half, gets played through onside because he's in his own half with no one in front of him. And I'm just sort of going, this is not European football. This is not what any of what you're used to. And yet, both managers just decide to play the game on this knife edge.
I think what's interesting is that's the way Klopp plays. That's the way Klopp sets up. And I think Nagelsmann, or however you pronounce it, I think he looked at it and thought, if you want to make it mad, we'll go mad. That's kind of fine. And I think he trusted his forward players to do damage to us. And they really could have done, you know, as Darren said, we could have conceded a few.
Well, there's a penalty miss.
The save penalty miss. Even without that, you've got, you know, they had chances.
They had chances,
headers, free headers in the box and things like that. And I think he just thought, well, if you want to make it a madness, we're at home. We'll match you toe-to-toe and let's see what happens. And if that game had finished 3-3, I don't think it would have been a particularly surprising, you know, sort of result. So, I think the most important thing as Liverpool fans is that we need to get used to it, because that's what we're going to be watching. We might be able to grind out a result every now and again, but it's not going to be the common theme.
It's a worry. Adams hit the nail on the head there, because I think teams know what to expect from Liverpool. There's not that, like, you know, there's not that plan B where Liverpool can shore up, go 1-0 up, they carry on attack. And that, look, we're used to that under Jurgen Klopp, we are. But I feel as though, like, you've got to have that. You've got to have that real solid defensive base. You've got to have it. And teams are going to cotton on to Liverpool flying forward, hit Liverpool on a counter-attack. I think the more teams in Europe, and I think Adam was spot on. I think that was spotted by the other manager. And, you know, he got on to the fact that, you know, they could get Liverpool on a counter-attack quite a bit in the game.
I think, just to come back, I do think that one of the things is, I don't think Klopp thinks he's got the personnel to do a defensive performance. I think he thinks he's only really got the personnel, and we can and will argue till we're blue in the face over transfer strategy, but I don't think he thinks we've got the personnel to grind out a result, but we have got the personnel to go and win 4-3. And that, in a European tie where away goals count, that's a 4-3 would 2-1 was, I mean, he said afterwards, I'd rather have won 2-1 than 1-0, so I didn't mind the goal that, yeah. You know, I didn't mind Trent's thing, and that sort of tells you his mentality. I'd rather get the away goals, rack them up, and say to them, are you going to come to Anfield and score 3? I don't think you are.
I think we've got to remember with Jürgen as well, as he has had success in Europe. So I mean, he's got Liverpool to a Europa League final, he got Dortmund to a Champions League final. Yeah, they didn't win them, but, you know, in the case of, you know, Dortmund are up against a really good team and with a lot more resources. And so it's not like, you know, we were watching Brendan Rodgers thinking, oh, he's too naive for Europe. He knows what to do.
He's got to a final.
So if he was here, he'd be like, well, you know, you've just got to kind of trust me on this one a little bit. And I kind of know what I'm doing, and I know how to get the most out of these situations. And he'd be looking at a 2-1 win. I mean, they didn't lose at home all season last year, did they? And so he'd be saying, well, I've done it. You know what I mean? It might have been on a knife edge, and there might have been some dodgy moments, but I've gone there and got me win. So it might be a little bit different to kind of what we used to. But as long as they keep winning, I think we'll all be all right.
It's worth pointing out that his, you know, European record there. He won final following season. They got to the quarters, got knocked out by Real Madrid. I think Madrid go on and win it that season, 14-15. And they get done 3-2 in the end on aggregate across the tie. It's a creditable result, Darren, but
yeah.
it is just not what we're used to. And as, you know, maybe as Adam's saying, as supporters, we've got to calm our nerves a little bit, maybe. And that's what the manager would say. He'd say, come on, let's just get behind me here.
We're conditioned, aren't we? We're totally conditioned by this kind of, and I know I keep going back to Rafa, but we watch Liverpool just, you know, muscle the way through in Europe, you know, strong, great, you know, obviously it started from the goalkeeper right the way through the spine of the team. Jürgen's a totally different manager. He plays at it's a totally different game that he plays. It's attacking, and we have to get used to it, you know what I mean? It's a results game, it is. He got the results, you know, and that's fair enough. It's just that anxiety. I can't help feel, you know what I mean? I'm not having a go at Jürgen Klopp, he's doing a great job. It's just that little anxiety that you're going to come up against some really, really top teams in Europe. And I think Liverpool can match them in terms of football. The football we play is phenomenal. It's just that, just having that little different, that ugly side. I just wish we had a few horrible players.
Well, on that, Darren, I'll go back to you on it. The thing where I've got a bit of a, we get to 2-0, whether we deserve to be 2-0 or not. And there's blood in the water. We sense these are really vulnerable. They're shattered. We can get at these and make it 3. And we don't. And that's where I'm sort of thinking, that sort of nasty side. It'd be nice if there was a shout from the sidelines, right, lads, last 5, last 10, we just protect this now. We just absolutely sit on this. Go down for everything. Take time out of the game. But instead, they just want to keep playing. They just want to keep playing and playing, don't they?
Yeah. This is just the way it is. I mean, and that's obviously been instilled into them through Klopp. He just says, just keep going. He feels as though, we kind of had that with Rodgers. We've seen a couple of, obviously, famous occasions where Liverpool did just try. When you're playing that style of football and when you're confident, that's just the way it is. And Jürgen Klopp, I don't think he wants to have that side in him, that side to shore up. Adam touched on the fact that he maybe doesn't trust players, but I think he's got to go out in the transfer market. He's got to bring in players that can do that job. You know what I mean? It can be ugly when you need to be ugly. You have 3-0, 4-0 up. You've got to shore up then, haven't you? You know, you've just got to be a bit tighter. And I just think that that's just something that he needs to look at, definitely. But look, we just have to get used to it. I think we're going to be on the edge of our seat again all season.
The first half, quickly, John, is before we go to the break, we'll talk about the second half after the break. The first half, the penalty's a mess from everyone. No one looks great in it. But it's a good save, and the goalkeeper deserves credit for that first half performance. He makes the save from the penalty. He makes an excellent save after the vulnerable in the air with Matip. And the shape wasn't great, the playing into that target man. But the two very good saves, but the highlights of the first half, obviously, is Trent Alexander-Arnold, the free kick, the class, and the all-round set-piece quality. We should have scored from corners in both games. His set-pieces look to be the absolute business.
Yeah, his corners were really good against Watford, and that'll be forgotten now because of obviously we defended them so badly. So when you think Liverpool and corners, you're not thinking about the ones we take, but his were excellent and could have had a couple of goals in that game as well. And as you say, he just looks really confident and he looks like he means business this year, and that's great. I think he's had his year last year where he's had a bit of a look and, you know, kind of got used to it all and got used to his teammates and the level, because it's a big level up to what he's used to be playing. He didn't even play that much under 23s football, really. He's more or less gone straight from the 18s into the first team, and so it's going to take a while. He looks a little bit bigger, stronger, and just looks like he's ready for it now, and it's great to see. And I loved how his teammates were made up for him, because I think that's a sign of like real team spirit.
You could see that, couldn't you, Adam? They were all desperate. They all wanted to be close to him. You know what I mean? It was like a nice gentle thing. They all wanted to go. Brilliant free kick, made up Liverpool take the lead on the one hand, obviously. But you do. To me now, he looks, when the squad was going around beforehand and people were going, we're not half thin, and I did something on City Talk with Steve Hothersall, and he said, we don't half look thin here. And I said, well, there is a bit of a thing here, which is because you're not classing Alexander-Arnold as a first-team squad player. And I think the other members of the first-team squad class Alexander-Arnold as a first-team squad player. That's how well he's done over the summer. That's how well he did the second half of last season.
I'm listening to the Anfield Rat review show the other day. Sean Rogers said about how at the end of a season, they look back and say, did we finish positive or negative on set pieces? And I'm going to make a prediction here that Liverpool will finish positive on set pieces this year, because we're going to get better at scoring them and we're going to get better at defending them because we've got somebody who can take them. And we haven't had that in a consistent manner for quite a long time. And the big thing for me with Alexander-Arnold is he's brilliant at them. And I think that we would have scored in the last couple of games if players had been used to being on the receiving end of some brilliant corners. Honestly, I think.
Shock.
So honestly,
oh, well,
if you watch the misses, there's two or three where they sort of go, I tell you what, I didn't see that coming then. I didn't know that was going to make it to me, because they're sort of used to be just hitting the first man or disappearing off for a free throw.
It's been going on for years, though. Yeah, and I've had a few discussions with people. Steven Gerrard was one of the, look, you know, unbelievable player, but I thought his corners would have used to whip them in front post, headed away every single time. What, and it from that, it just set the tone. But it is great to see someone whip a good ball in. And like Adam says, now it'd be good if we had someone who could actually attack a ball or put them in.
Well, on that, Adam, you know, anticipating it, you mentioned there, the one thing I did genuinely notice at Watford was the one where Matip hit the bar. Chan doesn't react. If Chan just ran forward at the key moment, he bundles that over the line, but he doesn't react, partly because he probably thinks, well, he's going to miss, blah, blah. Yeah, everyone sort of decided there's going to be a bad ball in, it's not a bad ball in. He's just on his heels completely, because he's not used to, hang on, there's going to be a goal scoring situation here. So yeah, maybe them all getting used to it could be doing far better.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. And sometimes you just, as Darren said, this has been going on for years, so it doesn't really matter who the personnel is in the back line in the sort of attacking line of attacking the corners. Doesn't matter who the personnel is, they've just been used to a corner being a waste of time. And I know that everybody's team says the rubbish at corners, etc., but we really were rubbish. Like, that's not, you know, you know you're going to concede every time they get one. And honestly, I've said for who knows how long, a manager's best tactic when Liverpool attack is put out for a corner, because we're not getting anything from it, and that might start to change now.
It is the Anfield Rap on Radio City Talk. Darren, John and Adam got Sean Rogers to come after 7 o'clock. Don't go anywhere at all. We'll be back to talk more about Hoffenheim in a second. It's the Anfield Rap on Radio City Talk. Welcome back. Going to talk about the second half of Hoffenheim now with Darren, with John and with Adam. Darren, first and foremost, the attacking flair, the attacking talent, that the one that Firmino misses, you know, what a chance it is, but it's manager stands his man up and undresses him, and the ball's sumptuous, and the quality, Don't be laughing or undressing, John Gibbons. You're better than that, aren't you?
No, I'm not, absolutely not.
There is. It's he just does that, and then I'm not going to say it again. And then there it is, when we talk about things you don't see in Europe, you know, going back to again Liverpool European sides that have done really well, They weren't doing that 4 or 5 times a game, and yet this one was. They just absolutely, whenever they wanted to, you got the impression second half they could just do them.
Absolutely, great to see as well. But I thought he was brilliant, to be honest with you. He's a great player. Do you know what I mean? Manny's a fantastic player, but some of the football I thought was brilliant. And it's, you know, I think a lot of teams are going to be in for a bit of a shock this season in terms of the football we can play. Firmino, we talk about like forwards as well. Liverpool, you know, they've got options there, but Firmino, you know, for me, does a really good job. As they call it, what a false nine.
Yeah, oh,
he's just an actual nine, I think.
He's just an actual nine, isn't he? Yeah, because he does wear the nines, wouldn't we? Get where the false comes into it. Like, but yeah, they are looking good, definitely.
You get the impression John Manny wants the responsibility, and sometimes players go and take you know a seasonal change, and you'll feel as though a player's going to want some responsibility. And Manny, he was dropping deep a little bit more. He was helping out. He was looking to link it up. I felt Manny's almost playing as Coutinho from last year's 4-3-3, and Salah's playing as Manny. If you know what I mean, it looked to me like he just wanted to be involved in the match all the time.
Yeah, he's showing more sides to his game, and I think it's understandable why last year maybe we didn't see that as much, because he's, as you say, he's coming into a new club. But also you think, well, what's my role here? Oh, I'm the pace, I'm the lad who can run, and he was sort of the only one really. And so he was an out ball. He was there to carry it. He was there to kind of beat men in the final third. And I think he's just showing even more from him this year. As you say, he's finding himself a bit more central sometimes as well, popping up there, and just looks like he's ready to go up another level this year, which is fantastic, because, you know, he wasn't bad last year either.
He wasn't, and, you know, last year, Adam, he scored a goal pretty better than 1-2, you know, when you look at the actual time on the pitch, he was better than 1-2, and the could well be here. You can see, and this is why it is frustrating, the situation at the minute, you know, that second half, you can see where Coutinho will play. You can see what Lallana will be bringing him. You can see all of that. You know, if you want to even go further wild in terms of ifs, buts and maybes, you can almost see where Naby Keita will play. You can see what he wants from Virgil van Dijk. You know, you can see how he's, what his plan's been, what his thought process has been, and then you get to see them still be able to play this fantastic football, even with those names missing, not least because Liverpool don't own two of them. But you get to see that sort of fantastic football, and you just think, you know, he has got his plan, he has got his approach, and you can see that if and when it clicks and clicks properly, they could just be absolutely irresistible.
And that's why I think we're not hearing about any other targets in the window other than the people we're looking at, because I still think that the manager's confidence of getting the players that he wants, and he wants them because they fit into the system he's got in his head better than anybody else would. And I think that with the, you know, obviously I think a big part of his frustration over the Coutinho situation at the moment is that, you know, we could already be tearing teams apart, because I think one of the most interesting things is going to be how Salah develops, because he's not actually been great the last two games in terms of what he's actually offered in the final third. He's missed a few sitters. I mean, that one-on-one, you know, I mean, I was watching it and thinking, you're left-footed, why are you pushing it onto your right? Bonkers decision. And that, as soon as he beds in, you know, that he'll be snaffling up them for breakfast, that sort of thing. And teams won't know where to look. And, you know, you slot Coutinho back in there, you bring Lallana back in for what he kind of offers. And we've got our problems at the back, they're acknowledged, everybody knows them. But those players are going to give the opposition team so many things to think about. And all of a sudden, our problems at the back, if Coutinho doesn't go and gets his head in the game, which I think he will because it's a World Cup year, so he's not going to spend it sulking if he ends up staying, Lallana will obviously come back and fit into it. And when that happens, opposition teams won't even be thinking about our defensive weaknesses, because they'll be so terrified of five or six players that can destroy them going forward.
Such a variation as well, isn't it, than what you've got. You mentioned there, you know, Lallana is so unpredictable, and Coutinho, killer pass, the pace of Salah and Mane. So many different problems, like Adam correctly points out there, you know, and Liverpool are a team to be fit in terms of attacking football. It's phenomenal. Do you know what I mean? And like I say, once he kind of gets that, you know, back four sorted and a bit stronger, Liverpool are, you know, serious contenders for me. It's just like I say, just though, again, you know, I think Adam is right what he's saying about he knows those players are the right players for Liverpool. Van Dijk, Keita, they're the players he wants to bring in, and he won't settle for someone else coming in because he needs them players to make Liverpool stronger, definitely.
The other one, John, from the game was the Henderson sub, which I was trying to work out if it was like, listen, Jordan, you're getting 65 today, or if it was not happy with the way this is looking at the minute, or you look to be finding it a bit harder than I expected. I actually think Milner comes on and plays quite well. I think the midfield looked a little bit better after Henderson went off. But I think it partially looks a little bit better because Chan and Wijnaldum both sit and Milner goes. And so there's not just Henderson on his own in there. There's now the pair of them sort of doing bits and pieces for it. But it was Parthen defending better as a side. I just think it's an interesting substitution, isn't it?
Yeah, the midfield was kind of curious generally. And I know you've covered it on the review show on tour players. So we'll go into it too much more. But that the flat three for a while was a stranger. And you saw Henderson pop it up on the right and then him and Chan swapped. And yeah, you wonder, the balance doesn't seem like it's quite there yet at the moment, and I think the manager's maybe kind of falling not sure how attacking he wants his midfield to be, and sometimes he looked very attacking and then the deeper man's kind of very exposed, and we saw that against Watford. I think Milner showed his value when he came on. I think we've all sort of forgotten about James Milner now because he's not playing left back. We sort of, you know, acting like, well, he's got no value. But I think in games like that, he was a wise head when he come on. He showed he plays a couple of nice passes, and you know, you could see how he could be, if he's not going to start, how he can be an effective sub in a few different positions this season. But Henderson, I think it was just a case of, he's still coming back. When the manager spoke about Henderson in the summer, it was very much a case of, you know, he still needs to get his rhythm. He's still, you know, we see this as on his way back rather than now we've got Jordan Henderson firing on all cylinders. And so I think they probably looked at it and thought it's two games in 4 days. We'll, you know, and I think it was probably decided before the game that he was going to do that length of time on the pitch.
Okay, this is the Anfield app on Radio City Talk. Settling ourselves down for the season to come. In a second or two, I am going to be speaking to Sean Rogers about what Liverpool should do against Crystal Palace. And hugely looking forward to that conversation and working through all of that. It's a big, big weekend of football for the Reds. Whatever you're doing, get yourself settled down. Get yourself comfortable now and relax. We'll be back just after this. It's after 7 o'clock. Welcome back. Radio City Talk, the Anfield wrap, with you until 7:30. And this is the little bit of the show where we speak to Sean Rogers about what the opposition might well be looking to do when they come to Anfield this weekend, Liverpool versus Crystal Palace, of course. But he's an opposition manager who finds himself in a bit of a bind after last week's results, Sean, I'd say. The 3-0 home defeat to Huddersfield, when you're trying to build a new way of playing with a new set of players, and then you get done 3-0 by a newly promoted side game one, and then game two you go into Anfield, where the direct football's worked for Palace. These players have got memories of direct football working for Palace. They know that this works. But if this fella's going to say, well, we're not going to play this way, and then they get beat heavily, then it already puts them on the back foot in the club.
100%. It's a real difficult situation for him, in that there's obviously numerous different types of management. There are some that, you know, have a proper philosophy that is their way of playing and their shape to the side and the way that they want to play. Other people just have a philosophy. I mean, look, every philosophy is about winning.
Yeah.
Let's be straight. But there are other managers that are happy to mix it, change systems, change ways of playing, change the way you defend, change the way you attack, and do that game to game. And, you know, we've seen a little bit of that at Liverpool, really. You know, you've got Brendan Rodgers with his kind of philosophy, and then you've got, you know, Rafa as an example, who is more than happy
to mix up.
Yeah, to tweak things. I think with De Boer, the interesting thing, we've just been talking just before we came on air, that he's got Huddersfield, Liverpool, Swansea.
Yeah.
And that's a really bad mix of games for him, because if we're looking at this independently, you go, Palace need to play probably one way against Huddersfield, then they probably need to come and play differently against us, and then they probably need to go back to playing how they'd normally play against Huddersfield, realistically against Swansea, and that's not easy. And all the vibes seem to be that De Boer, and certainly the way that, you know, look, he's been ingrained from Ajax, hasn't he, as a kid?
Yeah.
Then he's got the Barcelona move as well. Everything's about the philosophy and realistically one way of playing. Now, what does he do? Now, I think Pochettino had this problem last season, in that he's got his philosophy and his way of playing. And it's a bit different for him, obviously, because Spurs are on a run. They probably see themselves, you know, as a direct rival of Liverpool. So for him to say to his Spurs players, I think they're better than us potentially. So yeah. we need to change that, that and then get them back on board. No, you're the best team in the country the following week. It's not the easiest thing to do. With the Crystal Palace dressing room, like you've just correctly referenced, I think it is different because there you go. We've gone to Liverpool and been pretty respectful in terms of what Liverpool can do with the ball. But actually the way we've defended and then counter-attacked, and particularly the direct way they've braked on us, has just caused us a lot of problems over the last few years. So like you say, the difficult thing with De Boer, especially after the experiment that's gone badly wrong in Italy, he really needs the buy-in of that dressing room, 1,000,000%. And I think, I guess the players are kind of maybe thinking Huddersfield's a little bit of a one-off, only because they did create a lot of chances. And I thought Benteke and Zaha, from the bits that we've all seen, it looked like that could be really lively for them. So I think you can kind of park that. But like you've said, if he says, this is the way we play in pre-season, this is the way we go to Liverpool, I think that suits us and Jurgen Klopp right down to the ground if they come and play that way. And I think that's what Liverpool want them to do. Now, like we've seen with a few clubs, better clubs than Crystal Palace, to be fair, when they've come and done that, the teams have been damaged. And then he's got a big problem then, because all of a sudden the Swansea game kicks on a whole different level of importance for him. The right thing, I think, for him to do is to twist his mold and say to the players, look, you know, this is where we're, this is a journey and we're looking to get you to here. But for this particular game, look how well you've done here. You know, just do exactly the same.
Sell the positive.
Yeah, and say, for today, we can come and do what you've done before. You know that better than even I do. So I've watched all the takes back. I've spoken to you all during the week. Why should we go there and do anything different? And then, look, Monday morning, it's straight back into our way of playing and how we want to play against those other teams in that bottom 13 section.
Is there an argument there that if he finds himself, let's say they do play the way they used to play, the Palace way that we've seen at Anfield, the more direct style, yeah. all of that sort of stuff. Is there an argument that if he does that and it doesn't work, will that actually helps him from the point of being able to say, right, we're back to my way now, we're back to going, you know, we did a bit of that, yeah, we didn't quite execute it well enough, but, you know, we're all in this together, this is the way we play, Swansea are next and we're going to play them off the park.
Yeah, I think Antonio Conte, and in a completely different way when Gerard Houllier was in, that's different because of the joint manager position, but ignoring the reasons why, both of them had a period of time, Houllier longer, where they could just let things remain the way that they were,
yeah,
and give everyone enough rope to hang themselves, and he can't really lose. So we're going to do exactly what we've done before, and if that works, great, everyone's happy. And if it doesn't, I haven't come in and turned the whole world upside down. We are all on the same page that something needs to change. So therefore, when I put a new plan in place, which hopefully we can all believe in, I've got a better chance of getting your buy-in. So I think when it was different for Julio, because a lot of what he was bringing in was more off-the-pitch things initially. But for Conte, he's able to get, if he comes in first week of pre-season, because we're playing a back three, and this is what we're going to do, it's a little bit different for him. When he's saying, lads, we haven't had a good start to the season, we've really struggled in a couple of games, we need to sort this, everyone's in full agreement. They might not be in full agreement with the answers, but they're all in full agreement where they're at. Obviously, Frank de Boer, he's going to come in and say, look, this is the way we're going to do this. And they're not soft. They know that they've got to stay in the league. Once they've stayed in the league, finish as high as they can, and ideally have as good a cup run as they possibly can also. Now, you know, the minute you start putting that in jeopardy, you're going to have some serious problems.
Well, yeah, and that's the next part of this as well, is that there's a thing where from the Liverpool point of view, no one in that dressing room is under any illusions as to how difficult a game this could be for Liverpool. And that, so this, the history now of this fixture, Liverpool haven't won there since 2013. It does flip this one round for the Reds, doesn't it? It does change. It means that everyone in that dressing room is looking at one another and saying, to beat Crystal Palace, we've got to be at our very, very best, and this is how we're going to be at our very, very best.
Yeah, I mean, looking at more with your Liverpool, Adam, I think this is a really interesting weekend for Jurgen. I mean, I think Jurgen's going to pick his best team and say, look, the first couple of weeks of the season, I just need a big effort from you all. Now isn't the right time to rotate. After the international window, I will rotate. If it was me, I think a lot depends on Sturridge and how he's doing in training and exactly what's going on at the moment with his fitness. Because I think if... Has he been wrapped up in cotton wool a little bit for this weekend? Or actually, is it one of them things where it's a bit too late in the day? Because I think if he's ready, I'd be tempted to sort of go to what we had at the back end of last season for this particular game. And the reason I say that is I think if you're going to experiment, we're better doing it now and this weekend than we are doing it after the international window. And I think, touch wood, if the Champions League games are coming thick and fast and then we're rotating for League Cup as well, I think these kind of games are where he might go, do you know what? I might try a 4-4-2 diamond here today. Or I might do something, a 4-4-2 even. And I do want Sturridge and Origi up front as an example. And that's where you get your game, boys, because then if I'm rotating for the Champions League, then I can bring others in. But you never know, if you do well enough at the weekend and you perform, keep your place,
yeah,
that's what it's all about, trying to keep the shirt for the big games. Now, he has to have had a conversation with Sturridge and Ridgie about where they're getting their game. Not in pre-season, but if he hasn't already, that I'm sure there's a knock on the door coming pretty soon in that regard. And I think you're better off this weekend doing that than you are going, I'm going to just play these to the max for these weeks. And then after the international window, we know what it's like. 3 points is important as 3 points, but it's mad, isn't it? The longer we go into the season, I think the less risk you can kind of take. The only worry for me is if he wanted to go to a diamond and do that, obviously Coutinho and Lallana are massive losses in terms of being able to do that, and you don't want to be putting that much pressure on Woodburn. So if we had one of them two available, obviously both would be ideal, but if we had one of them available, I'd be pretty confident that he'd change it this weekend. But I think as it is, I think he's just going to go, lads, best team. You've just got to knuckle down and get through this period before the international window.
Just one more thing on that, the knuckling down and all of that sort of thing. If he does go to the diamond, there's a conversation, isn't there, about you're saying there, no Lallana, no Coutinho. Looking at the way Mane is operating these first two fixtures, I'd sort of wonder whether or not we could sit here and make an argument for Mane at the tip of that diamond. The fact that he's dropped in, he's been on that left-hand side, he's been more like Coutinho than Salah's. Salah's been like Mane from last season. Mane's been more like Coutinho from last season. I wonder whether or not he might think to himself, you know what, I could go Sturridge and one of Origi or Solanke. I could go Mane in behind and then play a pretty conventional sort of three there. Maybe even include Milner in that, as Milner sort of joining from midfield, and that gives it a bit more spring, a bit more bite.
Yeah, I mean, he did reference, when we were signing Salah, he referenced the ability of Salah mainly, but I'm sure he cited, if he didn't cite Mane in that particular sort of interview, it's certainly been cited that there's a bit more flexibility in the forward line than you might think. And he's not just talked about sort of inverting them in terms of the wide positions. He's also talked about playing them centrally and maybe even as a 10.
Yeah.
So it's possible that he might want to have a little look at that. I mean, again, if that is something he wants to look at, he's much better doing that this weekend. Because two things. One, look, with his employers, FSG, and also with the players, with such a big game on the horizon, he's totally within his rights. If he's going to have a little rotate and a little look at things, this weekend's probably the time to do it, really. And as the season progresses, it just becomes that little bit harder.
And also the nature of those games, which you mentioned, you know, the Arsenal one is the end of this run of five, so it makes sense
that
to be able to
say... That
team
picks itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, one more go here, boys, one more big push. Then when they come back, the first game's Man City, and if they are in the group stage, the next one's the group stage game, and then his next opportunity could be Burnley at home, but he will want to have had a look at things, and we're actually talking about a game that's a month away.
Yeah, 100%. I think to a certain extent this weekend, he can't really lose in terms of what he does. I think whatever he decides to do, I think you can back it in basis of common sense. The reality of the situation is he's got to absolutely make... I mean, the reality of the situation is irrelevant to what Crystal Palace do, and they may well play into our hands a little bit, but irrelevant to that, his main focus is going to be, we've got to start fast, we've set the tempo. And do you know what? If we can win the game and have an easy last 20 minutes, half an hour, fantastic.
And that might see you get Woodburn on the pitch.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, always good to speak to Sean. We will be speaking to everybody, back with everybody else in a second or two. This is the Anfield Wrap on Radio City Talk. Always good to speak to Sean. Welcome back, Neil Atkinson, with John Gibbons. I'd forgotten what you were called there, John.
Sorry, mate.
It's like I couldn't see you every day. Darren Farley and Adam Smith. Just want to give a little mention to the football's fan support and food banks, which is going on at Anfield again this season. Drop-off points are at Anfield Road, Family Park, and inside the new LFC Superstore. That stuff's the club supporting this one. And it's the priority food bank items, UHT, milk and long life juice, tins and jars. I mean, you know the way in which this works by now. It's good to see the club supporting it, and it's good in general that it's happening. Football supporters, so it's fans supporting food banks, and that's going on across both sort of Liverpool and Everton for the foreseeable future. And we'll also be speaking to someone from there at some point in the next few weeks, I'm sure. Okay, then Liverpool go. Face Crystal Palace, Darren, and we haven't got a win against them since 2013. And when this sort of thing happens, my head goes. It depends on my mood. I either go, we'll never beat them at home again, or if I'm in a good mood, I think there's got to be some sort of point where this just reverts to normal and the mean comes back because Liverpool are better than Crystal Palace, so they just beat them.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
what's your mood like?
It's a bogey team. You go into these games I go into them with a bit of trepidation, to be fair. Is it trepidation or trepidation?
Trepidation, I think. But it's all right.
Either way, both of them are going, both of them. But, yeah, I mean, you'd have your bogey teams. I remember going to, back in the day, when I went to quite a few away games, I don't know whether it was Leicester, or we had a few problems with Leicester.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, a few times.
Ian Marshall,
Phil Gilchrist popping up at the back post one time. But going to Phil, but Steve, where you literally, your head was whacking the, because I was about 6'5", that I've shrunk actually. but they were a bit of a bogey team. And Palace, it does seem to be the same thing, to be honest with you. But it's got to change. It always changes, doesn't it? You know what I mean? And I'm sure we can turn that round somewhere. Start off at Anfield with a win.
Yeah, it is strange, John, the way in which it's gone. I mean, it's partially because they've had a couple of things that suit playing against us, but you also just sort of get the impression they've been good at seeing it as an enjoyable occasion. Do you know what I mean? I think that those players have been good at sort of thinking we're going to get to go to Anfield and enjoy ourselves here and express ourselves a little bit in a way which I'm not comfortable with.
Yeah, I think they've got a few kind of talented but inconsistent players, haven't they? And I think...
And they've had them for a few seasons
had them for a few seasons and Anfield seems to be somewhere where they've been able to turn it on. I think it's maybe the space they get, the way they play have played on the counter. I mean, we're talking like, the, you know, it's just the same team and it might not be this weekend because it's a new manager. It'll be interesting to see how they play. And Benteke's got a really good record against us as well, which is another kind of worry, really. But it reminds me this one a little bit of the Leicester home game last year, and we had to wait a little while for that one, and everyone, and Leicester were champions when we come, and everyone was thinking of reasons why Leicester might beat us. And then we beat them 4-1 and played really well. And I think I'm hoping for a similar kind of performance from Liverpool. Really, I think it'll be a lot of positivity in the ground. Everyone who I've spoke to is going, can't wait to watch the Reds, and you know it's going to be a big crowd, obviously sellout, and I think that the fans can carry their optimism onto the pitch, and I think the players will respond. So I'm feeling good about the game.
They are in a funny place, talking to Sean there before, Adam, about how their manager's got a bit of a situation now because he's trying to change the style of play. He doesn't want them to be that version of Crystal Palace anymore, supposedly. He wants to play his Dutch style, 3-4-3 and all of that, and he is trying to change that. But it's worked for them, being gnarly at Anfield. They've got themselves some good results, and they've just been beaten 3-0 by Huddersfield. It's not a straightforward game for De Boer.
No, it's not. But I do think it comes back a little bit to what we were saying before about the fact that actually Liverpool will give them plenty to worry about. And actually, you know, no disrespect to Huddersfield, but Palace fans would have been delighted at that as the first game of the season, playing at home against the newly promoted side, who you'd expect to approach the game with a little bit of... I can only think of trepidation now.
Where are the day?
A little bit of trepidation. And, you know, I think they would have been really happy with that as a fixture. And then the way it turned out didn't go to plan at all for Palace. And I think Liverpool's attack is significantly better than Huddersfield's. And I didn't think any of the goals were particularly goals that we couldn't score. It wasn't just lumping up to a big man or any of that sort of stuff. I don't think De Boer's going to be looking at this game and thinking this is one where we can grind out a result. I think this is a game where he might be thinking, I want them playing my type of football. That's going to take time, so we need to keep doing it and not do the sort of Mark Hughes thing of reverting to old-fashioned Stoke type when he plays Liverpool, because he knows that'll put about up our night dress. It'll be very much kind of keep going in the same vein as they are, because he needs them to learn the system. And I think we'll put 3 or 4 past them. I'll have my tenner on Benteke to score any time, like usual.
Always get a return on that, don't you? It's like buying money.
Disappointed. I think sort of 3-4-1 is likely. And that's not overconfidence. It's just because I think they're going to be I think it'll be a different game when we go and play them later in the season. But right now, they've got too much to do. And I can't see De Boer, who wants them to get this different style of play, saying, let's abandon everything we've been working on for the last 6 weeks.
There'll be a reaction as well, I think. I think there will be a little bit of a reaction. And we were talking before about, they do seem to come to Anfield and play with a bit of freedom. And I think, like you say, you're looking at it thinking the confidence is going to be low. They've lost their own to Huddersfield. But I don't know. I reckon, you know, I think Palace, I don't think it's going to be a foregone conclusion. I think Palace will, there will be a little bit of a reaction. But if they open up, like Adam says, and try and match Liverpool, you know, we could actually put a good few past them.
On it, John, you know, looking at last season and processing that, one of the things that happens last season is that we score the opening goal, and that's one of the reasons why it's so frustrating. We don't go on and beat them. We score the opening goal, we do the hard part. You do sort of wonder that if we do score the opening goal this week, new manager, new style of play, and suddenly they're all 1-0 down and looking at each other off the back of 3-0 last week against Huddersfield, if it might be an opportunity for, you know, what I'm trying to say, I think, is if Liverpool go 1-0 up, I think I'd quite like to see them go hell for leather for 2-0 quite quickly, because it could just completely put Palace to bed.
Yeah, they must be feeling a lot of uncertainty at the moment. I actually thought they looked quite good in the summer. I watched them, obviously, because they were in the same tournaments.
Of course,
Liverpool,
yeah. You've literally seen Liverpool play Crystal Palace.
Yeah, and I thought Palace looked quite good.
Should have mined this seam earlier.
And I thought they looked quite good. Obviously, they had Zaha then, and he's a big blow for them because he's out and he's probably their best player. But, you know, I thought they were looking like, you know, they might do something this year. But and then obviously the Huddersfield result, it must be a massive shock to them. And so they must be coming to Anfield with doubts. And you're right, you need to kind of feed on them doubts, really. You need to kind of, you know, get in their heads a bit. And if they do go one, then maybe they start thinking, rather than the counter-attack, and maybe they're thinking damage limitation. And that's when you've got a team where you want them.
It's got your reverse effect as well. Because, you know, it's fair, you know, Liverpool obviously conceded quite late. And I know we've got a good result in Europe, but it could be a case of Palace knowing if they go in front, the crowd get a little bit anxious. It can be a little bit of an adverse effect there. So, you know, it could go the other way. Do you know what I mean? So we've got to get on top of them straight away. Without a doubt, don't let them, because then your doubts creep in and the same old can't defend corner stuff comes in. So, yeah.
Would you consider rotating? Adam first.
No, I think that there are a couple of players who need to get used to playing with each other. I think Lovren and Moreno are obvious examples of that. And the more game time they have together, the better on that front. I think it's still early in the season as well, so there shouldn't really be any tired legs. But, you know, to be honest, every time I think we're going to rotate, we don't. And every time I think we do, we won't. So, you know, Klopp will probably throw a curveball in just to annoy me. But I wouldn't personally, no.
Would you be looking to get Sturridge on the pitch, John?
I wouldn't start him, but he's a great option, isn't he? It's going to be interesting to see what the manager does, because he's had Solanke and Origi on the bench last two games. He's brought them on.
Each one.
And he can't put three of them on the bench. You wouldn't have thought. Yeah, yeah. So it'd be interesting to see who drops out there and have a little look at the pecking order. He might decide it's a game too soon for Sturridge, and we'll have to save that guess for another day. But I wouldn't be looking to start him. But he's a great option. But I'd be probably similar to Adam, looking to pick the same team, because I don't think there's an obvious necessarily want to come in. I mean, I'd probably change the left back, but I'm not sure that's rotation. That's more just getting rid of him.
And it's that effect, isn't it? You know, changing your back four. Yeah. And Adam's spot on about that understanding between Lovren and Moreno. So there's no need to change it. I think he'll stick to it. Yeah.
All right. Quick prediction. You first, Dan.
I'm going to go for a win, but a tight win. Actually, I'm going to go for a 2-1 Liverpool.
2-1, John.
3-1 Liverpool.
Adam.
4-2.
My word. Hey, Adam's having the best afternoon now, so you three. Wow. Thank you very much.
Put match of the day on safe. Yeah.
Thank you very much to Sean Rogers, to Adam, to John and to Dan. It's been a fantastic Anfield Wrap on Radio City Talk. Subscribe if you can, you know it works. theanfieldwrap.com/subscribe. Come and find us. Come and listen to us talk more about fantastic football. Liverpool start the season off against Crystal Palace at home. Should be an absolute belter. Let's all have a great day. Sports Social Podcast Network.